tell me a little bit about what the ACT Children and Young People Death Review Committee does.
Okay, it's a new committee, and I might start by saying, agreeing really with what you said, that I think it's a very important committee, and it's got some really important work to do in the future. But clearly, we're working in an area of great sensitivity, and we need to be thinking very carefully about how we establish ourselves and start to do that work in a way that's going to be very respectful and sensitive to the families of the children that we'll be looking at. But basically, our prime function, we've really got a very wide function in that we'll be looking at all the children from 0 to 17 who die in the ACT, or in fact who die out of the territory but were normally resident of the ACT. And I guess our role is really to contribute to all of our understanding about which children it is that die, how they die, so cause, and also to be able to look at what those deaths might teach us, I guess, as in the community about, you know, what we can do better, how we can prevent child deaths, how we can contribute to preventing them, and also to lower the incidence. At another level, we have a particular, I guess, a particular focus on some of the perhaps more adverse event-driven events that lead and contribute to children dying, and that's the children who are known to the child protection system, who are reported to the child protection system before they die. And I guess those two levels of making sure that we keep that broad function and advise the government.
So that's about, a sort of duty of care.
Yes, and advise in an almost public health way, looking at accidents and how they can be prevented. And committees like ours have done some great work around things like restraints for children in cars, children who unfortunately get run over, pool accidents, drownings. And so we're the committee that would advise the government, having looked at those deaths, what might potentially contribute to reducing that. And then within that, we've got this other particular focus.
Mm. It's so interesting because we, earlier in the program, talked about there was an incident in a swimming carnival here where an ambulance was called, and I rang the Lifesavers Association to talk about, you know, have we made a real step backwards by now not making swimming lessons compulsory in schools? Is that something that you would advise the government on?
Those are exactly the sort of, I guess, the circumstances of death and some of the things that, because of the in-depth way we will look at those deaths and obviously trying to do that as sensitively as possible, but trying to highlight for the government there's more to do. I mean, at a general level, there's a lot more to do in terms of youth suicide and all of the things that we know as a community we struggle with in terms of reducing the incidence of that. So I guess that's that public health. We have someone on the committee, just to pick up on your point, who will be able to contribute and advise us on safety issues for children here and the sorts of equipment and things that we need to make sure that we're advancing, I guess, our understanding of that. So, yes, those drownings will certainly be the sorts of deaths that we would look at.
Well, luckily this wasn't a drowning, but it was just that raised that whole issue of, you know, what are we doing taking it out of schools. But tell me about your background and the work that you have done in this area. Dr. Judith Gibbs is my guest this morning. Okay. What an incredible area to get into because...
I mean, I'm a social worker by original profession. And I guess through most of my career, both here and overseas, I've been very involved in working, I suppose, primarily with vulnerable families and at-risk children through sort of child protection systems and other services. And have been very fortunate in my career from being that practitioner in, you know, doing that work out in the community, becoming, I guess, a supervisor and a team leader and a manager, and then getting some opportunities to move into teaching. So teaching social work and being able to, I guess, advance the profession and really try and promote people's, you know, those graduates training for as social work, trying to promote the idea that somewhere like child protection is a great place to work. Mm. And I mean, currently now I'm a bit out of that, although I do still do a bit of teaching, but I do a lot of consultancy work, mainly with statutory organisations across Australia, your own office here in the ACT. I've done a bit of work for them. And I guess...
Where are you based now? You're based in...
I live up on the border of Albury and Wodonga, New South Wales, so, you know, a bit of a way away. But I have done some work in the Territory, and I think it's through that. And I guess people knowing that I have a real interest in making the processes of looking at child deaths useful. I guess I've been someone who, because of the work I've done in Victoria, I've been someone who worked with this kind of committee before, but also actually does reviews and analyses of children who die in Victoria. The feeling I suspect from people here was that I could, that's probably something I could contribute to the committee.
I'm just looking at, listening to your talk and looking at you and thinking you must have seen and know of the most tragic stories of when a children who shouldn't have died. How do you take that on? It's emotional work, clearly.
It is very difficult work. And as I started by saying, I think above all, we have to hold to the position of doing this in a way that is extremely sensitive and respectful to the families and to siblings and all of those things.
But you must have got angry. Yeah. You must get, do you? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first thing, just to pick on something you said there, it's about the large number. I mean, obviously, one death is too many. The work that we do will contribute to, hopefully, reducing the number of children that die. But one thing that I've really learnt through, I suppose, the work with the deaths of children who were known to the system, is that what we're aiming for is to contribute to learning and advancing the way we understand the immense difficulties that families face, some of our most disadvantaged people. And what I would say is that because it's so difficult and complex, and it's never one factor, it's never one thing.
It could be generations of disadvantage.
Absolutely, and many problems. And so I think a committee like ours, as well as that general work that we're going to be doing, which is critical, we have lots to contribute to the system in terms of how do we help really good people, really good workers in many systems and institutions to do the work that they need to do. What are the circumstances that we as a community and government can try to put in place that lets people do what they know they need to do to work with families who are in trouble and children who are at risk. And it's often those things, demand, you know, actual resources, demand on services that contribute to perhaps the services not being delivered as well as we'd like them to. But there's very rarely, I mean, one thing that's really important to say, there's very rarely one thing that leads to a child's death. And many of these children die of illness and of, you know...
But I suppose, I mean, if we look to the Victorian situation with the little child being thrown off the bridge, I think we all stood as a nation and went, what has happened there? Yeah. Yeah. And the little sibling saying, "Don't, Daddy, she can't swim."
And in that set of circumstances, I guess one of the things that doesn't surprise me is that the community and everyone has a right to be thinking, "What happened there?" I think that's a very good example. I mean, I wasn't involved in that case, and I'm not particularly talking about that. But one of the things I'd say is that probably behind all the adults and indeed the children in that story, there were many complex factors. Probably, I don't know, a lot of, I think, demons that those parents face and how they get to such a distressed state that they do things to their children that had they not gone into that state, and perhaps if they'd had other sorts of help, other sorts of intervention, it would have reduced the chances of that happening.
So that's the bottom line of a position like yours, is to feed in.
I think I have to work with our committee to find as many ways possible. And this is great, you know, to be doing this, to be talking to the community about, I know we all want causes, and I want causes. I want to know what happened, and I want to stop it happening again. But actually, unfortunately, it's much more difficult than that. And how I think we've got a real role to play in contributing to that in a way that is very respectful and sensitive in a small territory where we're actually talking about small numbers of children. So your community has a particular issue around, fortunately, very few deaths, and how we're going to do that in a way that is very respectful to families.
But good that a jurisdiction.
Very good for the jurisdiction.
Has a committee like this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I hope so, and I hope in time we'll do some work that contributes and people feel is value adding to the system.
A question that's been put up, what actually happens when a child dies? Is there counselling available regardless of the circumstances?
Do you think that means to the families?
Yes. Or.
Yeah, in general terms, I would hope that wherever that family is living, that if there's, you know, a hospital involved or another medical service, that one of the key things that staff would be doing is making sure that those families are offered adequate support. I think if the question is alluding to the people in the services, most definitely. I know it's one of the things I feel very strongly about, that the staff, as I said, the staff who are involved really are very, I mean, there are very few instances where it's one particular thing that they did. And so it's going to be very, very important that they are just supported and enabled not to feel responsible and not to feel as if maybe it was the one thing that they didn't do that led to the death. So, yes, I think we've got much better at putting services in place for all of the people who knew the child and the family as well.
Fantastic to meet you. I hope we have an
really
ongoing
relationship.
That would be great. And Dr. Judith Gibbs is the chair of the ACT Young People and Children Death Review Committee.